One of the many blessings and privileges to belong to a church family is to collectively gather every Lord's Day and to, among other things, to sing truth. And I just appreciate every time I'm here with your church family that we're singing the truth, Christ the sure and steady anchor. And I'm thinking in a group this size, that robust theology and doctrine we've just sung is meaningful to you today. And it's right here in your heart that you need and you have a sure and steady anchor in Jesus Christ. That is a precious thing. I'm thinking, too, you have church family that all hold on to that anchor together and support one another. So that's very precious. Well, it's a joy to be with you guys once again this morning and to be in this pulpit, which I so very much esteem and value the truth that goes from this pulpit week after week. As part of your summer series on love, when I was with you several weeks ago, I preached a message entitled Love That Shepherds the Family. And I focused on the heart of fathers as pastors of their families. This morning, knowing that the service was going to include parent dedications, I asked Tim if I could preach again on Love That Shepherds the Family. So you see, Love That Shepherds the Family, part two. But this time, I want to focus on both fathers and mothers with the heartfelt goal of encouraging and exhorting every dad and mom in their earnest effort to fulfill the highest calling of shepherding their children under their care. And like every other message I've preached here at EBC, I preach in the spirit of Peter, who wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. I consider it right to stir you up by way of reminder. In other words, all of you are so richly blessed to belong to a church family that faithfully and comprehensively preaches God's word week after week, year after year, decade after decade. And so I will likely not preach anything today that you don't already know. But all of us, as dads and moms, and including myself and Maureen, benefit from periodic reminders and fresh motivation to invest our hearts in the shepherding of the eternal souls that God has entrusted to us. So that's my mission today. My mission, except from the Lord, is to both encourage you, affirm you, and to faithfully, as a brother, exhort you in what I consider the highest of callings in life. If you're so blessed to have children under your care, you could not have a higher calling than to throw your whole heart and soul, all your energies into the raising of those children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And I'm ready for an amen. Amen. All right, good. That's a good start here. So let's pray. Let's pray and ask that I would be successful in that mission, okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are the epitome, the perfection of fathers. Thank you for making us your children, that you sought us and made us your own. You adopted us into your family. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. And thank you for the privilege it is for us to be moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas. Lord, thank you, Lord, for entrusting your children to us. And Lord, this morning we have just a few minutes to talk on this theme of parenting. And we can't by any stretch say everything, but we can say some things that I trust, Lord, that you would use to put wind in the sails of moms and dads. Perhaps some that are kind of struggling today and somewhat overwhelmed and daunted by the task of parenting. Lord, encourage them, I pray, today. and those that are doing quite well and are a good trajectory, we pray you'd affirm them and that they'd excel still more. And Lord, you know the heart of each parent here. By your Spirit, God, please minister something from these minutes together to buoy them up, to refresh them with the exciting privilege it is to love little ones, to shepherd them, to lead them, guide them to Jesus Christ. Do that, we pray, for your pleasure, God, your glory, and our good, and the good of our families. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So this morning I'm going to highlight seven truths that should permeate the mind and heart of every Christian parent who lovingly shepherds their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. But before I briefly touch on these seven points, I want to remind you again of what you already know. I want to remind you of the ultimate aim of our parenting. And the ultimate aim of our parenting is to be used of God to lead our children to genuine faith and repentance in Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate aim. That's my thesis. That's my heart. That's my belief. That's my conviction. That our ultimate calling as parents, as moms and dads, from the time we bring that little one home from the hospital to the time they walk out of our house to go on into their adult life, is to be a conduit of the grace of God, the gospel of God, to lead them to Jesus Christ. By far, without a hyperbole, the greatest need of every child, of every human being, is to be born again, to have a new nature, to embrace Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And the reason being that our sweet little babies and toddlers and our teenagers are all sinners. They are born into this world dead in trespasses and sins. They are lost, helplessly lost, and separated from God because of their sin. They are in bondage to their flesh and bound for hell with no ability whatsoever in themselves to change their desperate plight. And that is why they desperately need a Savior. First and foremost, above everything else, and there's a lot that goes into parenting, a lot, but first and foremost, above everything else, they need Jesus Christ. They need an understanding, a clear, accurate understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they need to embrace that gospel. And the scripture makes that abundantly clear for us, familiar verses to us. Romans 3, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6, for the wages of that sin is death, spiritual death, separation from God. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Acts 4, and there's salvation in no one else. So there's no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Acts 17, verse 30, God is now declaring to all men that all people everywhere should repent. Why? Verse 31, because God has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man with whom he's appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. John chapter 3, he who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. That's sobering. Fellow dads, moms, we must parent with a view of eternity. A day of judgment is coming. And only those who are in Christ will be saved. Therefore, we are preparing ourselves and our children every day for our last day. In the midst of all that goes into parenting, feeding the kids, clothing the kids, bathing the kids, chauffeuring the kids, educating the kids, all that we're doing, there is something we have in view always, and it's eternity. It's the final day. When this vapor life is over, we all, children, adults, everyone, stands before God. The most important thing in this life is to get ready for that last day. And we as parents are positioned strategically by God, appointed by God, to prepare eternal souls to stand before Jesus Christ. Wow. That's important. So, our primary focus as Christian parents is to consistently adorn the gospel, that is, make it attractive by the way we live. So we are to adorn the gospel and we are to articulate the gospel. They are to actually share the truths of the gospel in age-appropriate ways from the moment they can listen to our voice. We're articulating the gospel, so we're adorning it, we're articulating, and we are praying earnestly for the salvation of our children, because we're all convinced, I trust, that we have no power to save a child. None. God alone has the power. So we're being used of God. We're a conduit of his message, a conduit of his grace to the lives of our children, to the hearts of our children. We're going to grab their hearts. Only God can do that. And we know that. So we pour out our hearts in prayer every day for the hearts of our children. Over and over throughout the years. Mark chapter 8, verse 36 says, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul?" Let me paraphrase that a bit in the context of parenting. What does it profit a son or daughter if they are well-educated or well-behaved or have high moral standards or they are well-adjusted citizens, or they possess a great worth ethic, or they excel in music or sports, or they are successful in life? What does it profit a child if they are all of these good things, but are without the Savior? What does it profit them? Nothing. Nothing. Their greatest, overwhelming, overriding, overarching need is salvation. Not only to escape hell, of course, to escape eternal wrath, to go to heaven, of course, but also to experience and fulfill the highest purpose and joy for which they were created. To know God, to glorify God, to enjoy God in this life, and then, of course, for all eternity. In reminding our children over and over in just creative, different, varied ways through all their years that the best place to put yourself in life is under submission to the King of Kings, to surrender your life, to surrender your whole heart, to be under the Word of God, the written Word, the living Word, to be under Him is to be on the path of joy, the path of blessing in life, and to be a blessing. So, this all being true, every parent must be an evangelist in their home. That means dads and moms, we need to know the gospel. We need to know it. We need to be experts in the gospel. And we must constantly share the gospel with our kids, even after they've asked Jesus into their heart, even after they've professed to be saved. You never, friends, never stop talking about the gospel. Because the gospel doesn't just get you to heaven. The gospel is the way to life. Every nook and cranny, crevice of your life, you need the gospel. And I just want to be clear here in all this talk of needing the gospel and being saved and so on. Steve is talking about not just praying a prayer. I meet parents, and it makes me sad. I meet parents, they're kind of resting on the fact that little Johnny asked Jesus in his heart when he was 4. And they were there. They heard the prayer. And all is good. Well, when our kids were young, some of them did pray prayers and ask Christ to be their Lord in early on in life. And we rejoiced. We yahoo through the party, affirmed them. But boy, we never, ever, ever stopped going back and back and back to the gospel. Because we don't know. You know, I know, praying prayers doesn't save you. A broken and contrite heart that embraces Jesus Christ as Lord and say, repents of sin, that saves. And sometimes, friends, it takes some years to figure that out. Some of our kids got into the teen years. We're still looking. I'm glad that Titus prayed his prayer when he was 7. But he's 17 now. And is there fruit hanging off the branches, Christian spiritual fruit hanging off the branches of his life? Is there indications that he loves the Bible? He hates sin and he's pursuing righteousness. So we're not settling on prayers prayed. We're looking for a new heart, a new creation in Jesus Christ. So we need to keep first things first, and that is a home that is perpetually saturated in gospel truth. And guys and gals, moms and dads, this requires us to love this gospel, right? You know, I stole this phrase from somebody decades ago, but if we want the people under us to bleed, we need to hemorrhage. Steve, if you want your congregation to bleed, brother, you need to genuinely hemorrhage the truth of God. Parents, if you want your kids to love Christ with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, you have to hemorrhage. No lackadaisical, lukewarm, we go to church on Sunday, we call it good, Christianity, nuh-uh. Sunday through Saturday, we're bleeding Christ. And they see it. Not just in word, but in action. They see adoration. They see joy. They see the gospel practice when we're confessing our sin, which we have to do a lot of as parents, asking for forgiveness. So if we're going to do this, we need to be hemorrhaging Jesus. We long to see our children own their faith, treasure Jesus Christ, and be governed internally by the Holy Spirit and Scripture. That's what we're laboring for. Our kids were involved in sports. They're all pretty good athletes, better than their old man. We used to go to the games. It was a great time. It's part of our family tradition, and we loved it. But you know, as much as we were sports family, Jesus was clearly above the sports stuff. And I'm going to get myself in trouble here. When it was Sunday, we were in church. Okay, I might be the last time I get invited back here. But when you got those tournaments and everything going on Sunday, maybe the rare occasion if it's the championship game and you're going to win $1,000 or something if you win it. But otherwise, the Ball Vance family's in church because dad's preaching. But anyway, we need to make priorities that kind of practice what we say is important. We treasure Christ. We're in his house. We're doing the things that will build us up in the faith. What's going to matter most? And I'm speaking to you younger parents with younger children. What's going to matter most on the day that your children walk out of the nest is that they have Christ. They've owned their faith. They don't just have your faith. God has no grandchildren, as it said. They own their faith. They're a child of God. And they have a new nature, therefore. And they love the Bible. And they're governed internally by the Holy Spirit, because our surveillance is over, right? By the time when they're leaving, there's no this helicopter parenting thing they call it. The helicopter crashes, it's done. I mean, they're on their own. What's going to matter most with all six of our kids? What mattered most the day they walked out of the nest is that Jesus owns them and they love him. Far from being finished products, nobody's a finished product till you get to heaven. Lots of work to be done in their hearts. They're a piece of work. Dad is a piece of work. We're all a piece of work. We're in process of sanctification. But their trajectory is we love Jesus and the Bible. Then all is well. And then you keep praying your heart out, as my wife and I do, even though they've all cleared the nest 10 years ago. We're just praying for their hearts. But that's going to matter most. You're parenting with that in view. That day they're going to walk out from under your daily supervision, if you will, and they're going to be on their own. And they own Christ. Paul stated this truth that I'm saying of parenting like this, and I think it's on your wall out there. Colossians 1, 28. In 29, which is a great parenting text. Great parenting text. Paul said, we proclaim him, Christ, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom so that we may present every man, every boy and girl, son and daughter, complete in Christ. Paul says, for this purpose also, I labor, toil, striving, according to his power, which mightily works within me. That's a great, read that with parenting lenses. Colossians 1, 28, 29. Read that with parenting lenses on. That's our calling. A calling of evangelism and discipleship doesn't get any purer than in your home. Yes, we're to be in the community, outreach, and do missions. Yes. But it starts with our children. We're evangelizing and discipling them. Then we have to present them complete in Christ. That's what got Paul out of bed in the morning, by the way. That's what got him out of bed in the morning. Not making tents. I'm sure he enjoyed making tents. But tent making wasn't the guy's passion. The passion was gospel ministry. And I'm submitting to you that gospel ministry gets no more basic and fundamental and pure than parenting. Okay, that's the longest introduction in the history of preaching. So, seven truths now that should permeate our mindset as we parent our children. Seven truths, and I, like a good pastor, I put them all in the same letter, alliterate. The letter S. Seven letters, words that begin with S, maybe to help you remember them. The first one is standard. Standard. Our parenting must be grounded in the Bible. The Word of God is our standard. Everything Christian parents need to know to raise their children in a godly manner is found in the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work, including the work of parenting. So we must study and embrace and practice sound doctrine, friends. We need to know our Bible, sound doctrine, because there's a lot of unsound doctrine floating around, even in Christian circles. The world is not telling us the truth. So we need to study and embrace and practice sound doctrine as we bring up our children in the Lord. For example, understanding what the Bible says about human depravity is essential to sound parenting. We need to know that our children are not born good. They're not born good. We love them to death. We'll take bullets for them, but they're born sinners. They're born in a desperate need for the one and only Savior who can rescue them from the penalty and power of sin. Another example, secular psychology would tell us to build up the self-esteem of our children. But the Bible teaches us to deny ourselves, to not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. The Bible repetitively is telling us, esteem Christ. He must increase, I must decrease. And in humility of mind, to consider others as more important than ourselves. That's the esteem that the Bible propagates. A healthy self-image is found in our identity in Christ and contemplating the truth of our union with Christ. Another example, the world tells us that chastisement is child abuse. Hogwash. The Bible tells us it's loving. A loving parent exercises controlled, gracious, consistent chastisement. Teaching our children to obey authority, ultimately God's authority, is foundational to God-honoring parenting. Teaching them the law of sowing and reaping, that obedience produces blessing and disobedience produces pain, heartache, is so essential to shepherding our children's hearts in the way of the Lord. My point is that the Bible must be our standard for parenting God's children, not the wisdom and philosophies of man. So you got to beware, friends. You got to beware. In our day and age, there's all kinds of secular, pragmatic parenting paradigms floating around. Some of them are labeled Christian, but they're not rooted in biblical theology and sound doctrine. So our homes need to be Bible-saturated. Truths of Scripture must be the air that the family members breathe. And as parents, us knowing the Bible, teaching biblical truth to our kids, again, in age-appropriate ways. You teach a 3-year-old different than you teach a 13-year-old. And modeling what we teach, all the while pouring out our hearts in prayer for their hearts to come to Christ, is the basic biblical recipe for bringing up children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And we can do it. I want to encourage you, we can do it. One of the things I lament in our generation, our culture, Christian culture, is sometimes we make parenting really complex. Boy, just, man, my kids are doing... We make parenting far more complex than it really is. And I'm not, I mean, I raised 6 kids, all right? So I've no difficulties and messes, and I get it. But parenting isn't that complex. It really isn't. Think about it. Up until about 100 years ago, all that Christian parents had to help them raise their kids was the Bible. All they had was the Bible, the Holy Spirit, the body of Christ, hopefully, brothers and sisters around them, and prayer. That's it. And it was enough. It was enough. There weren't many parenting books back in 1926 or conferences on parenting or websites or podcasts. Not at all. Yet for centuries, friends, centuries, throughout human history, Bible-saturated, Spirit-filled, praying parents plugged into local church families and successfully raised their kids for Christ. And we can do it too. We can do it. Don't give up. By the way, I like books and podcasts and conferences. I read them all. I do it all. Pretty much anything I preach is stolen from somebody. So I'm not poo-pooing that stuff. I'm just saying, we've got Christ, the Bible, the Holy Spirit, and brothers and sisters come alongside, help us, pray for us. That's enough. That's enough. Don't get overwhelmed with the complexities of parenting. Live the gospel and proclaim the gospel and pray your heart out. 2, second word to permeate our parenting mindset is stewardship. Stewardship. We must understand that our children first belong to God. We are caretakers of His kids. That's a reminder. My kids aren't, first of all, my kids. They're a stewardship. They're a precious gift entrusted to me to be raised in the ways of the Lord. But they're God's kids first. And 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. I cannot produce one bit of fruit in the hearts of my children, and neither can you. But I can be faithful to what God has called me to do. I can plant, I can water, and pray that God will produce the fruit. And if in His amazing, unfathomable sovereignty, if He withholds salvation from my children, I will trust Him with His plan, as gut-wrenching as that is. But I will be faithful. I encourage you today, be faithful. Parent by faith and not by sight. You say, I'm not seeing anything happening in the lives of my kids. I've been doing all the things that I've read in the books and heard people tell me to do, but I don't see any product, any fruit. Don't stop doing it. Be faithful. Keep going on. We're parenting for the long haul. I'll talk about this more in a moment. We're parenting for the long stretch. I can't improve anymore upon this idea of stewardship than what Paul Tripp writes in his excellent book, Parenting, 14 Gospel Principles That Radically Can Change Your Family. If you don't have that book by Paul Tripp, repent of your sins today and get a hold of that book, okay? I love it. I wish it was written back when the dark ages, when we were just starting to raise the little ones. But Paul Tripp writes this in the introduction to his book. It's worth the price of the book. But the 14 chapters after, read better. Good parenting, he says. Good parenting, which does what God intends it to do, begins with this radical, humbling recognition that our children don't actually belong to us. Rather, every child in every home, everywhere on the globe, belongs to the one who created him or her. Children are God's possession for His purpose. That means that His plan for parents is that we would be His agents in the lives of these ones that have been formed into His image and entrusted to our care. The word that the Bible uses for this intermediary position is ambassador. It really is the perfect word that God has called parents to be and to do. The only thing an ambassador does if he's interested in keeping his job is to faithfully represent the message, the methods, and the character of the leader who has sent him. Isn't this good? He is not free to think and speak or act independently. Everything he does, every decision he makes, every interaction he has must be shaped by this one question: what is the will and plan of the one who sent me? The ambassador does not represent his own interests, his own perspective, or his own power. He does everything as an ambassador he has forgotten who he is and will not be in his position for long. Parenting is ambassadorial work from beginning to end. I love this. It is not to be shaped and directed by personal interest, personal need, or cultural perspectives. Every parent everywhere is called to recognize that they have been put on the earth at a particular time and in a particular location to do one thing in the lives of their children. What is that one thing, he says? It is God's will. Here's what this means at street level. Parenting is not first about what we want for our children or from our children, but what God in His grace has planned to do through us in our children. To lose sight of this is to end up with a relationship with our children that at foundational level is neither Christian nor true parenting, because it has become more and more about our will and our way than about the will and the way of the sovereign King of Kings. Now you're excited to buy the book. That's a great book. We're ambassadors, right? We're entrusted caretakers of God's precious children. May he find us faithful. Number three, third word to permeate our hearts is the truth of God's sovereignty. Sovereignty. The truth of God's sovereignty, you guys, I'll tell you, if you really think about it, again, in the context of parenting, that our Father, our loving Father in heaven, is sovereign. It's a liberating, it's a comforting, it's a motivating truth for parents. Psalm 103:19, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all, including everything that happens in our homes. Everything that happens in our family, in the hearts of all of our kids, God is sovereign. We must believe, friends, we must rest in the truth that our God is a loving, wise, sovereign God. Print that, tattoo that on your heart. My God is good. My God is loving. My God is sovereign. In the dark night of the soul, when things seem to be spinning out of control, I remind myself that things are not spinning out of control. They're spinning into place by the sovereign hand of God. The world's not falling apart. It's falling into place because God is sovereign. His good purposes are always intended for me in Christ. Romans 8:28, you know it by heart. Soak in the sovereignty of God. Our parenting is limited. The fruit of parenting is ultimately the work of God alone. To him be the glory. William Farley, in his book, Gospel Power Parenting, another really good book, Gospel Power Parenting, states it like this, and I quote, God is sovereign, but parents are responsible. God's sovereignty is our hope. Parents are utterly dependent on God. Amen. He can save any child, no matter how dark the circumstances. On the other hand, God normally reaches children through parents. It is a fatal mistake to presume upon God's sovereignty by neglecting parental faithfulness. Yet it is also a mistake to assume that all of it depends on us, because it doesn't. In fact, none of our efforts will prevail unless God bestows the gift of faith on our children. So, he concludes, we are utterly dependent on God and utterly responsible as parents at the same time. The blessed tension of sovereignty and human responsibility right there in parenting. I like to think of it this way. Maureen and I tell ourselves all the time, we're parenting, doing the best, our flawed, imperfect best to parent, throw our hearts in the kids, as if everything depended on us. But all the while, always consoling ourselves that it ultimately depends on God. That's what Spurgeon would say. Spurgeon was here this morning in the pulpit. He'd say, work as if everything depends on you and pray knowing that everything depends on God. That's parenting. Sovereignty. Sovereignty. Fourth word, sacrifice. Sacrifice. Oh, faithful parenting requires hard work. Hard work that, friends, it's rewarded by God, but rarely acknowledged by children. By the way, if you have children in your home that are just perpetually bubbling over with gratitude for all the sacrifices you make, clone that child and share him with the rest of us. Because that child is rare as a $3 bill, right? Parenting sacrifice. But because we parent gazing at God and glancing at our kids, we know that God in his ways will reward us, even when we don't get much affirmation, appreciation, thankfulness. Maybe at Father's Day and Mother's Day you get a card. But we focus on God and we make the sacrifices unto him, not with a sense of martyrdom. This is my lot in life. God blessed me with these 6 children. It's my honor to serve them. No, not affectations of martyrdom. No, I'm privileged to be a dad. I'm privileged to be a mom. God, back to sovereignty, has assigned these children to me. Not to my neighbor, not to my pastor, not to my elders, not to the youth pastor. He assigned them to me. And I get help from all those other people. But primarily, they're mine to raise in the ways of God. And I sacrifice joyfully. What could be more important on death's doorstep, I'm laying on my deathbed, than to think back and go, I gave my heart, my best, to 6 children who now are going to someday join me in glory. What job's better than that? Award, vacation, beautiful house, pristine lawn. What's better than knowing that you gave your heart joyfully to this task? And it's a lot of work. It's like, make no bones about it. You know, I'm not preaching from ivory tower. My wife and I rolled over 6 kids in 10 years, okay? How do you spell work? That's work. And it's work when they're real little, when you're tying their shoes and wiping their nose and doing the diapers and mopping up the vomit. That's hard work. And then as they grow up, it gets a different kind of hard work, right? All you older parents, you know what I'm talking about. You get old. Now, 13-year-olds are a different kind of work, right? That kind of work. Hard work of soul. Conversations late at night. Falling asleep, crying. Burdened. That kind of work. That kind of sacrifice. All worth it. I'm putting wind in your sails, I trust. All worth it, you guys. The day you meet Jesus Christ. Better than every other effort you made and every other thing. Blood, sweat, and tears. A great eternal investment. Sacrifice, and don't, you know, find a good friend that you can cry on their shoulder and they can pat you on the back and then get back into the game. 5. I think it's 5. Yeah. Sanctification. This is a truth we need to think about. And by the way, just straight up front, I'm talking primarily about our sanctification as dads and moms. Not necessarily the kids' sanctification, but our sanctification. Biblical parenting is as much about your spiritual growth as it is your child's. And you know this, children are one of God's choicest tools for conforming us to the image of Christ. Your spouse is pretty handy at that too. Spouses are good in the hand of God. I used to think I was a pretty patient guy. And then I got kids. And I realized I wasn't as patient as I thought I was. I was a pretty mild guy. No, no you're not, Steve. Here's a nook and cranny there. Reminders of character that I'm lacking, and God used children to sanctify me. Opportunities to fail and to practice the gospel, which I talked about when I preached here a few weeks ago, and I'll talk about again now. Maybe one of the most important things you do in the life of your children is you humbly own your sin against them. You clearly confess it to them. And you plead for their forgiveness, pledging to do your best the next time. Sanctification. You know this if you've parented more than 10 days. You correct your children. They're fussing, they're doing everything, and you're going to correct them. And you get heated. Maybe I'm just the only one that does this, but you get frustrated, and you end up sinning worse than they were sinning. You go, oh, doggone it. I was correcting their sin. Now I'm worse. Now I'm the guy. God uses that stuff to humble us. There's nothing like parenting to humble you. Just go to Costco with 6 kids.
There's nothing like it to embarrass you and to give you a right perspective. Sanctification. And on the same, and I'll move on to the next points real quickly. Maureen and I, later on in years, we didn't do this when they were real little, but we learned this from somebody and we grabbed onto it. We would tell our kids, I want you to understand, you're not the only sinner in this household. You and your siblings. Mom and dad are the head of the line. We're the chief of sinners. We're on the same team, you guys. We're battling the flesh just like you do. We blow it just like you do. We need the grace of God just like you do. We need to confess our sins to one another just like you do. Let them know you're on the same team. We're for you. We're not against you. We're not on our ivory tower. They know anyway. By the time they get 10 or 11, they go, God, Dad's a piece of work. They know it anyway. They're going to figure it out anyway. Might as well just tell them. Dad knows who he is and who he isn't. And I'm dependent on God every day. And so are you, son. So are you, daughter. Number six. Sixth word to focus our minds on is seasons. This idea of seasons, it's something Maureen and I talk about often. Life is in seasons, and parenting includes both joyful and difficult seasons. And therefore, we must maintain a long-term perspective, especially in the difficulties. It's easy to lose perspective. Raising children is a long-term project. Maturity and growth and character takes many years, really a lifetime, right? Sanctification is a slow, lifelong process of many ups and downs for us, right? For us as parents and for our kids. It goes with the territory in raising children in every season of life. You see, challenges and setbacks and disappointments should be expected. They shouldn't be surprising. They should be expected, and they should be seen as opportunities to minister the gospel to our kids, to teach them about life. They're opportunities to depend on God more for his strength and wisdom and perseverance. A hard day, friends, a hard day, a challenging week, a difficult month should not be allowed to discourage us. Yes, life is messy. Family life is messy. There's difficulties. We're not a pristine picture in the ball van's house. We're all in process. But the atmosphere we're breathing is gospel air. It's biblical air. We have a Savior. Again, who doesn't just get us out of hell into heaven. He helps us do life. But don't give up. Don't be discouraged when you're in a downswing. Galatians 6:9, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Keep doing the right thing because it's the right thing. Remember, parenting is a marathon, not a sprint. Parenting is not measured by days, but by decades. Proverbs 22, train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Many takes on what the proverb is saying there, but I would just say part of it is we're parenting future adults, not just children. We're parenting, yeah, that four-year-old is a future adult. Train them up in the way they go. When they're old, they will not depart from it. That fruit of those child-rearing years in your nest may not produce fruit till the kids are 40 or 50. Parent by faith, not by sight. Keep being the right thing and doing the right thing. By the way, Proverbs 22:6 is a proverb, not a promise. Some people grab onto Proverbs 22:6, say, there's the promise. God's going to save all of my kids, and they're all going to walk with Jesus. That's not what the Proverbs are. Proverbs are general truths. All things being equal, this is how it works most of the time, but sometimes they don't. And I have, and you have, precious friends, Christian precious friends who have raised children and blood, sweat, and tears, loved Jesus with all their heart, did the best they could, and their children don't walk with Christ. That is an agony of heart. I know. I see it. But it's not the fault of the parent. If there's things we need to own and repent of, by all means, own and repent of the ways we weren't faithful. But Proverbs 22:6 isn't a promise. It's a proverb. Pour your heart in, and all things being equal, when that child's old, he will not depart from it. We're not a finished product until we get to heaven. By the way, one last word on seasons. You've heard this old saying. I heard it years ago. I just love repeating it. The days seem long, but the years go by fast. Seasons. Our youngest, our baby is 27 now, and he has two babies of his own. Man, where'd those years go? The days seem long when you're mopping up the vomit and you're wiping the diapers and you're doing all that stuff. The days seem long, but the years go by fast. I'm going to confess, I listen to country music once in a while. You're going to miss this. Anybody heard that song? Anybody else want to confess their sins? All right. You're going to miss this. Why do I say that? Why does Steve say that under the heading of seasons? I say that because when you're neck deep in diapers and all the mundane hard work, parenting, heartaches and stuff, you can be tempted to wish it away. Let's just get through this season. Wish it away. Don't do that, friends. You're going to miss this. Confession. I sometimes cry thinking about the old days. I miss having those little critters around. As challenging as it was at times, I miss it. Fortunately, I got 18 grandchildren filling in the void, but I miss having my children. And I know some of you are shaking, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Lastly, and very quickly, satisfaction. That's the last word, satisfaction. Our satisfaction as parents, our joy must be firmly grounded in Jesus Christ, not our children, right? Please cement this in your heart. Children bring a lot of joy at times. There are great, sweet times. It's fun a lot of the time. But finding your joy, your ultimate joy in children is a bad plan. Because they let us down. They disobey. They disappoint. That's what children do. That's what I did when I was a kid. That's what you did when you were a kid. That happens. Don't root your joy in your children. Root it in Christ. Rejoice in the Lord always, Paul said. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord, not in your kids. Of course, there's room for parental pride. Don't go further than I'm going here. But I do. I look at parents, I'm sad for them. They're like this emotionally. And I can tell you, Johnny must have performed well yesterday because they're happy today. Now they're all gloomy. Johnny must have been a piece of work and a pill yesterday because now they're down. And they're riding the roller coaster. Performance. Johnny's performance is good, I'm good. Johnny's performance is bad, I'm bad. Get your soul immersed in the love of God, the grace of God, the joy of salvation, who Jesus is. Keep vertical. Keep gazing at God, glancing at the circumstances. Find your joy in God, not your kids. I see a lot of sad parents. I understand. I get it. I get it. Hard. But we were never designed to get our joy from our kids. Bad place to look for joy. Conclusion. Parenting, shepherding eternal souls that have been personally assigned to us by God is a privilege of a lifetime. There's no higher calling for a father or mother. It is worth every drop of blood, sweat, and tears that we expend over 20 plus years. No one alone is adequate for the job. None of us. Our adequacy comes from God. And when God calls us to something, he always gives us the ability to fulfill the calling. So may every father and mother in this room be humbly dependent on God to be his ambassadors in the lives of his children, growing in our love for God and his word, modeling the fruit of the Spirit before our kids, hemorrhaging the gospel in our homes, praying our hearts out to them that they would know him. And we know the parenting is performing spiritual heart surgery on our children. And ultimately, God alone is the one who controls their hearts. Therefore, an essential, perhaps the most important duty of a parent is to pray. And I think I'm afraid that we talk about prayer, but I don't know if we're always praying. Praying for our children, praying for us to have wisdom, to have perseverance, to have comfort in the difficulties. Pray for our hearts and pray for theirs. Close with a great parenting verse. Be anxious for nothing. Lots of opportunities to be anxious as parents. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, can't figure out why I'm having peace in the midst of the storm. The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Oh God, help our hearts as moms and dads, as grandpas and grandmas, help our hearts to see afresh this privilege, this opportunity, this duty, this sacred duty of rearing these children that you've placed in our care in your ways. And God, thank you that you never call us to what we can't do with your power. Thank you that you can enable us, and you do. And I pray, God, you know every heart of every dad and mom in this room. Some are maybe very discouraged today. Would you please, God, please refresh them today with even some of these truths we reviewed. Help them not to lose heart in doing good. Help them to persevere. Bring somebody along their side that would love on them and give them perspective. And Lord, we pray for every heart of every child represented in this room, that in your mercy and kindness, that you bring them to authentic faith and repentance and embracing Jesus as Lord and Savior. Oh God, do that in the Emmanuel Baptist Church family. We love you, Lord. Thank you for making us your children. In Jesus' name, amen.